Blog Talk Radio.
Kelly here, it's 7:06, and well, I had a slight difficulty this morning, but we're cooking on gas now. If you just heard that incredible statement from that black woman it's a sanctuary city, but a city that has taken illegals and put them into city positions. It is absolutely surreal. And if you heard her get up there and say, you know, talk about the sacrifices made by blacks in America, how they were brought here against their will, used as slaves, and then, killed and tortured and all these different things. And then for blacks, or should I say illegals, to be compared to blacks, it's got to be, it's just got to be absolutely so just frustrating to be. And I'm not saying I agreed with everything she said. For example, I've heard this before, black people built the White House. I don't know if that's historically true. It would be ironic with the juxtaposition of black and white. But I think her point, you can't disagree with the larger point, which is an incredible, incredible price for when they first came here, and now to see this when the community is still struggling. And I'm telling you that the unemployment rate is double what it is for whites and other races in America. And as a matter of fact, in addition, the unemployment rate for black youth, I think, is something like 50%. It's incredible. Anyway, so if you were to go and look at this country as, let's just say you looked at this country as a project or a company or whatever, as opposed to this, you know, the problem here is that you've got within the left, you have these universal themes, you know, justice and mercy and, these various things that kind of come in and cloud everything. And I'm not saying justice and mercy and all this stuff aren't important, but they're misused in the political arena to camouflage these programs and these policies that come in to do things that would be unacceptable in any company. you know, if America was a company, you wouldn't let people who are not company. And I'm trying to think of maybe a better way, the company is an okay metaphor, but you see what I'm saying? You wouldn't let non-company people come into your company and become employees or members without vetting them, without knowing anything about them. And then you wouldn't let those people take jobs away from the people who are already living in the community and supporting the company. You see what I mean? So anyway, it's kind of hard to follow a lot of this stuff. I think at some level, you have to look at this far left liberalism and say it is a suicide movement. It is a movement that at some level is meant to purify America to the point where we're not America anymore, to pay for all of our sins, to basically, I don't know how else to put it, but I'll have to think about it for a better metaphor. It is unsustainable to bring in the level of 400,000 or 500,000 illegals every year, and then for the government to not only not be trying to hold them back, but actually working diligently to find them places to live, to not prosecute them, to have sanctuary cities that, in a contradictory manner, don't allow federal law to be applied, and this. this can't go on forever. All right. So like this economist wrote, if things can't go on forever, if a particular thing can't go on forever, it won't. So let's push it up to the point where it can't. Like, let's get to the point where we couldn't possibly take in another person without absolutely destroying the country. What would we do? And I think, ironically, Donald Trump, even though, I mean, I was excited when I heard about his immigration ideas just because they were so radical. And it was like, you know, I couldn't believe it. Now, does anybody, even Donald Trump, think that all of the illegals will be rounded up and brought, taken out of the country? No. But I think what you've got to do, I was thinking, what is the power behind this idea? And then I realized the power is that at some point you've got to have a law that says we're going to do that. And then you've got, which we already do, then you've got to have the threat that we're going to do that. And that brings you back to square one. Now, am I saying that Trump wouldn't deport these? I don't know what Trump would do. I mean, he's kind of a loose cannon. But I think you've got to have the threat the law's going to be stay in place and be applied. And the idea that the left has put out there that has really polluted the minds of, I think, tens of millions of people in this country is that we owe people who don't live in this country the right to come in here. We owe them the right to break the law. We owe them the right to have jobs and housing and if they're having a hard time where they live. Instead of putting pressure on these countries, let's just think about this. What's easier, to bring all these people in here or get those countries where they already live to have a reasonable country, a reasonable democracy, a working economy? That would be easier because then they don't have to relocate. But the idea that the left puts out that we have to bring these people in here is just so insane because it's number one, unsustainable, but the side effects are so drastic, it looks more like punishment than it does a policy. So anyway, here's this another clip of this lady, Channel Temple, at Huntington Park City Council.
I'm to the position of commissioner. The Huntington Park City Council is being paid with taxpayers' money to do a job.
That's actually the same clip that they've got again. So anyway, this lady says, well, you know what? I'm going to play it again so you can hear what she says in this meeting. It's an African-American woman challenging Huntington Park City Council in California to not bring all these, well, not have illegals in government positions. It's crazy. It's far leftism. If you look at it, folks, and you say, what happens if we take this policy and keep running with it? It destroys whatever community it's in. It has to. Anyway, here's this lady again.
Within rules and regulations, according to your board behind you, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to paraphrase that and say, where there is no law, the people perish. In the U.S., we have one rule of law. I also want to talk about the 14th Amendment, which was added to the Constitution in regards to blacks being given birthright citizenship because blacks helped build this country, including the White House, twice. Please do not tarnish the name of black slaves by comparing them to your pot. There's no comparison, none. Black slaves did not bring you to this country, okay? They were brought here against their will. Also, black slaves are not immigrants. Immigrants are people with a choice. They come here by choice. Black slaves didn't have choice. I'm a sacrificer to me because I'm a descendant of a black slave. And trust me, Ancestry.com works, and I can trace my people back from when they landed here on the boat. I know the village where my people came from in Africa. Okay? So please do not try to get away with using that. That's very offensive. This country has been good to illegal immigrants. You have been given jobs, houses, tax money, free tax money, welfare, social security. They open up business for you guys, etc. I don't know of any illegal aliens who have been home from the street. I don't know any illegal aliens who have done this. The thing that they've been waiting for, away with it, things that people are going to feel sorry for. That's very offensive. Okay? Do the right thing. My people in three strikes. I have a nephew in jail now, 22 years for something he didn't do. My people commit a crime, they go to jail. Your people commit a crime, they get out of it. And you'll never appropriate taxpayers' money when you pick up your check.
Amen.
Right.
Anyway, so you can't, I mean, how do you argue with that, you know? How do you argue with this lady's position? Every single thing that she says is essentially correct. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell here, and appreciate it, Karen, turning us on to that. 523-1450 to call in, 805-618-02 text. We'll take a little break here and come back and pick up some more on this issue. All right, so let's shift gears here a little bit. There is some surreal information that has come out about the Hillary Clinton email scandal. The fact of the matter is that the company that the Clintons were using to help them put together their, and you have to have a little bit of tech knowledge, but it's not that hard to understand. When you go online, you go onto a website. That website comes from somewhere. Somebody builds it. Well, that website also has support from somebody else as well. And so here's just an example. If you have a Gmail account, there are a number of Gmail servers or computers around the country, and also memory. Your email account is out there on the web. It's out on the cloud, whatever. And it's somewhere being, you know, without going into too much detail, you're using a system that has this infrastructure that's out there. Everybody is aware of that. This in some way, the internet doesn't exist in your house. You're tapping into it. Now, Hillary Clinton and her husband, I guess, or maybe just her campaign, whoever it was, hired some people in Colorado. All right. This is so bizarre, but it's so fascinating. Democratic White House frontrunner used, and this is from the UK Daily Mail. Exclusive. Hillary's email firm was run from a loft apartment. Think about this. A loft apartment with its servers in the bathroom, raising new questions over security of sensitive messages she held. So Hillary Clinton is telling people, it's no big deal. I did I had my email account, and I was running all of my government stuff. Think about this. A major member of the cabinet, a major player, the Secretary of State, the person who represents the United States to foreign powers. She decided, instead of using a secure government server, although we've found out these things are not that secure, they've been hacked in by the Chinese and the Russians and everything. Anyway, she uses her private server. So she gets her own server through this company in Colorado, creates her own website, her own email address. And not only is it run from her bedroom, she's got a computer in her bedroom, but people that they contract with is some rinky-dink company in Colorado, Platte River Networks of Denver, Colorado, in which it was what was called a mom and pop firm, and they used a converted residential apartment with its own servers and a bathroom closet. Links between the local IT company and Clinton remain unclear, but its VP of sales and marketing, who was sued for fraud, is said to be a big Democrat. Now, this is absolutely surreal that they would do this. So at multiple levels, this setup, and you know, if you were Bill or Hillary Clinton, wouldn't you call Larry Ellison or Microsoft Bill what's his face, call one of the high you know, one of the mighty tech people and say, build us an impenetrable email account, bulletproof, stronger than the government. I mean, this day was obviously coming, right? When people were interacting, getting emails from Clinton, they're seeing that it is coming out of a private server somehow, or it's coming out of a non-government email account, you know? So Hillary Clinton knows this day is coming, even though she stated that if she hadn't volunteered her emails so that everybody could see what she had done, none of this would happen. Well, that's not what happened at all. What happened is that she was involved at some level, obviously at the highest levels in Benghazi. So when Christopher, whatever the guy's name was, is killed in Libya, and there's an investigation in Benghazi, Hillary Clinton's role in this thing is scrutinized. Now, they ask her for the emails from this, and she absolutely refused to comply. And then finally, years later, she gives some emails over and then says, well, I got rid of the half of the emails on my account that were private. So you're running public business at the highest level out of a private account and claiming that you have private emails on there. But I never sent anything that was classified, she says. And then they found classified information. So, you know, what I wanted to ask you yesterday, it just seems so unlikely. This stuff seems so unlikely. When was her brain injury? And you think, well, Kelly, you're being unfair. I'm not. I'm not being unfair. What I'm doing is saying, is her brain injury, she had a traumatic brain injury. She fell down and hit her head or whatever, was in the hospital, and they wouldn't talk about it until afterwards. When did that traumatic brain injury happen, and how severe was it, and is it at the root? If you know anything about TBI, is it at the root of her crazy decision-making? Nobody in their right mind would do that. And now she's turning it into a joke. Here's a little clip from a speech of hers, Iowa State. If I can get it to play here. Here we go.
There's a car race underway pitting traditional car makers against them.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Stokes.
I never saw that.
I used a single account for convenience, obviously.
Classified
on the road
for private server because
in maps.
They've looked in the. It doesn't matter what the email. According to the Clinton race. What makes something classified is the title.
The maps are transitioning now from becoming visual to something that's embedded inside the car. It's really going to become a component of the car that not only helps you get from A to B.
Looking for new toy haulers? Get Webex. It's also knowing everything in real time.
It's an extremely complex thing.
So why would BMW, Daimler, and Audi team up to spend $3.1 billion to acquire
about
map? Division
dismissing questions
because the car maker
about email is partisan.
Afraid,
so look at it from Hillary Clinton's perspective.
The likes of Apple,
her
and
husband
Google.
Has lived through the
and what makes these maps even more valuable?
So when the House is taken over by the Republicans
in the world,
and they grill her, they investigate her, she just dismisses it as
Google
partisanship.
Google
and she doesn't recognize it as a government function to have to respond to it. Now that the Justice Department, who can actually prosecute her, is involved. She's starting to move, but she's handed in a server after saying she wants everybody to know what she did, and she's so proud of her time in the role of Secretary of State. They hand in a server that's been wiped, although the FBI feels like they can get the information back on it, so we could find out everything. Here's some from NBC News.
In Nevada, NBC News has learned the FBI has begun its analysis of the private email server she used while serving as Secretary of State. And we've also learned this week a federal judge in Washington is set to hold a hearing on another issue touching on this email controversy. surrounding a well-known member of Clinton's inner circle. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams has late details.
The FBI's forensics experts are now examining the server once located in Hillary Clinton's New York home, the device that hosted her private email account. Two sources familiar with the process say analysts are optimistic they can recover at least some data, even though they've determined, as was previously disclosed, that it was wiped clean when the account was deactivated. The FBI is examining whether any government secrets were improperly sent or received on the private server, which was not a classified system.
It was never designed to be secure. It was designed to be a way of sharing information, not protecting information from being shared.
I do want to be the champion.
The emails have been a stubborn political issue, a nearly daily distraction for her. Just yesterday, the State Department said 305 emails have been flagged for further review to see if they contain classified information. On Thursday, a federal judge holds a hearing on a lawsuit touching on the email controversy involving Huma Abedin, a key Clinton campaign advisor constantly at the candidate's side. She was also a top aide to Secretary Clinton at the State Department and had an account on the private email server. A watchdog group that sued to get details of Abedin's government contract has expanded its lawsuit, demanding a search of the Clinton emails for answers.
I think they are dragging their feet. I think that they are engaged in some form of gamesmanship, legal gamesmanship, and they're being less than frank and forthcoming.
She was asked today if she regrets setting up the private server.
Well, I do now. I mean, in retrospect, what was supposed to be convenient has turned out to be anything but convenient.
And Mrs. Clinton says even if she had used the State Department email system, not her own, all the material would have to be reviewed anyway before releasing it publicly. And she says that would raise the same kinds of questions about whether some of it should have been classified. Lester?
Pete Williams, thank you.
All right. So what you got to be careful of the Clinton speak here. What makes it classified to them is whether it said in the title it was classified. And I would think, I don't know anything about this other than common sense, but I would think that you wouldn't necessarily say in an email that something was classified. It would just make it that much easier if a hacker went into the system to tap into that. But
it takes technology, engineering, and coordination to hit the perfect shot. At Quicken Loans, the same is true for mortgages. Quicken Loans, home buy, refi. Power, official mortgage sponsor of the PGA Tour.
Set up. What makes you think that it's not going to come to light? And when it comes to light, people are not going to demand an accounting, even for Hillary Clinton. So, but the most stunning thing for Democrats and liberals across the United States has got to be it was totally self-created. So. Anyway, we'll take a break here. It's 7:31. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. 523-1450. 805-6180. We will be right back. 805-6180 to text. Hey, it's Kelly.
Yes, good morning, Kelly. What was wrong with the station earlier?
It's Kelly?
Yes, it's Deborah. What happened at the station earlier this morning?
Just technical problems. What's going on?
Okay, I want to make sure I'm trying to find Patty on Facebook. Which one is her?
I don't know.
Could she be asked? Could you please ask her?
I don't know. No, I will, but not today. I guess this, I have too many problems going on right now, but I'll talk to you later. Thank you. All right, I'm going to focus a little bit more on the Hillary email thing because I think it's got the possibility of bringing her down, taking her down. Crowdhammer says she's like Nixon in that she's in a public life in which she doesn't want her private personality exposed in this thing. She wants to get up and do great things in history and still keep her private life. So she says when Ed Henry asked her about her emails, she says, my personal emails are personal, right? Well, she should have thought about that when she put this private email server together and did all her government business on it. That's pretty obvious. But and now Woodward, and this is my problem with a lot of these journalists out there. Woodward, who's a great genius in history for helping out Nixon, defends. He's calling it like Watergate and the hiding of the tapes and everything, and he says he meant the volume, not the person. So Hillary Clinton's nothing like Nixon. I think she's worse. Nixon was paranoid, but he made just one mistake. And I'm sorry if you just called and I missed your call, but please call back. But I want to finish my point there. There are so many clips on this. I just don't think this thing is going to go away. But check this out here. This is what got people going yesterday. People were calling up asking for this clip.
By the way, you may have seen that I recently launched a Snapchat account. I love it. Those messages disappear all by themselves.
I find that bizarre that she would say that in the middle of this. I mean, it's not like the situation has been resolved. I had like 10 clips kind of queued up for you, but realistically speaking, there's only a couple that really matter. And I've got Judge Napolitano asking, what if she got indicted for conspiracy to violate espionage law? Now, let me ask you this. If Hillary knew that there was a problem in the U.S. government with hackers from foreign countries, which she would have known, right? I mean, there's what people don't understand is there's this massive war that's going on all the time between these other countries out there and us in terms of hacking into, violating, encroaching into these electronic systems that we have set up to run everything, including email accounts. And so we're always getting hacked by the Chinese, and they're probing us, and the Russians are doing that. If she knew that and was on an unsecured server, wouldn't that mean that she purposefully violated espionage laws? Because, and I'd love to hear Frankie's response to this. Are you kidding me? But don't we have a sense here that she flouted the law and didn't care if it was violated? It made all of her emails a sitting duck. Check this out, though, from Judge Napolitano.
Clinton's secret email server scandal just keeps getting worse every day. Reports now say the number of email flagged as potentially containing classified information has grown to 305. But the former Secretary of State thinks it's all a big joke.
I recently launched a Snapchat account. I love it. Those messages disappear all by themselves.
But Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano says this is no laughing matter. He joins us right now. Judge Bob Woodward, who was involved in the Watergate scandal, covering it for the Washington Post, he said this email scandal reminds him a lot of Watergate.
It's an interesting analogy. And the reason he says that is because President Nixon acted as if he was never in trouble. He was never going to be investigated. He was never going to be caught. And, oh, P.S., those tapes, they belong to me. They don't belong to the government. Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar?
Sure. Plus, with Nixon, they had the 18-minute gap. But with Hillary Rodham Clinton, you've got, what, 30,000 missing emails?
Correct. 33,000 missing emails. And guess what? She didn't even do a good job of erasing them. Because of the ones she didn't erase, they found about 300 that are seriously questionable as to whether they contain classified material. Now, we know that at least one of them contains top secret material. Right. And then within the top secret category, there are three other markings indicating really, really super top, so super top
sure.
that you can't discuss it outside of a secured environment, a secured room. And this particular email, which was.
All right. So let's take a little break here and come back and hear more on this. She could be indicted. Now, think about this, the way that power has been infiltrated with or the legal system has been infiltrated. So that in America, if the government doesn't want you to get in trouble, you don't get in trouble. Say, for example, what happened in Benghazi and a lot of these other things, Fast and Furious, the investigation into the IRS. No, nobody has had to pay for any of these crises, but will something happen now that there's been a switch of the House and the Senate? I don't know. I have no idea. We'll be right back. 7:41 to talk about this a little bit more. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. It's Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. What's your guess? Give me your best prediction on what's going to happen with Hillary. And 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. It's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, this is Greg.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say that when you were off the air, I thought you and Frankie were going through Hillary's emails.
Frankie doesn't care either what's that, in there.
Yeah, I know. Either that or I thought you were ordering the cement when Donald Trump gets in office to put up that wall.
Well, so you got some for me today?
Yeah, I do. You need to go ahead and find Rudy Giuliani was on Hannity last night, and he will give you the years that Hillary is looking at in jail.
Wow.
Yeah, look it up. It was last night. It was great.
You know, man, I think the person that we missed out on as a leader was Giuliani.
I think so, too. But he was concise. He articulated how many years she was looking at in jail if this thing falls through.
All right, so he was on what show?
Hannity.
All right, so hang around and come on the show and give me your prediction.
Hey, man, I'm on my way to the dentist, man. I got to get a tooth extracted. I'll just listen to you while I'm going in.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Anyway, I just got a phone call that Rudy Giuliani was on last night and that he was talking about this thing, the possible prosecution. Do you think, let's be honest here, Hillary is a massively important person in America. Could she get prosecuted? I mean, they brought Nixon down, but Nixon had haters across the media and in very high places. Hillary, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. Would they just let her drop out of the race and say, if you don't drop out, we're going to prosecute you? So anyway, here's Judge Napolitano on the potential legal ramifications of Hillary's email. And
satellite photographs of a Middle Eastern country and intercepts of foreign agents was in that category. So let's just say, let's just hypothetically say, Mrs. Clinton and her associates are indicted for conspiracy to violate the espionage laws of the United States by knowingly letting secrets get out. And let's just say they're in a courtroom and Mrs. Clinton says, well, it didn't say classified on it.
Because the story last week was that perhaps one of her underlings stripped that off and then sent it to her server.
No one knows if that happened because the FBI has this information and we haven't seen it yet. But here's what her argument was. Her first argument was there are no classified materials. Then she changed it to, I didn't send or receive anything that was marked classified. So if she tries to tell that to a jury, guess what the judge is going to say? The judge is going to say, members of the jury, the Secretary of State, who has been trained to identify classified materials, is presumed to know what's classified or not, whether it stands top secret or not. That would force her to get on the witness stand.
Absolutely.
That would force her to justify how these pictures of Yemen from a satellite are not classified.
Do you feel with your judicial gut she is going to wind up getting charged?
Yes. I feel that she's in serious trouble and she doesn't recognize it. I can tell you this. The team of FBI investigators and federal prosecutors that are pursuing her is the highest and best in the Justice Department. Not to criticize other teams. It's absolutely apolitical. It's impervious to political consequences. And do you know who runs the FBI? Jim Comey. Do you remember what he threatened to resign under President Bush because the president wanted him to do something he didn't think was right? Do you think that if they find enough evidence to indict Mrs. Clinton and her colleagues and the president says no, Mr. Comey will be quiet about it? Right. I don't.
Well, okay. Here's a question for you, though. We got an election of about a year and a half.
Right.
Will the results come out before then? And then if she is charged after she, presumably, if she got elected president of the United States, then what happens? She could, of course, pardon herself.
Yes, believe it or not, she could pardon herself. It would be the first time in history, but she does have the authority to do that. I would think that if there is enough evidence to bring criminal charges against her, or, to be fair, if there's not enough evidence to bring criminal charges against her, we would know that and the FBI would reveal it right around the time of the New Hampshire primary, about 5 or 6 months from now.
All right, stay tuned.
Absolutely stunning information, folks. And can you imagine? Okay, so I read for you yesterday why, on a practical level, it's too late for other Democrats to get in and run a first-class campaign. Does that mean that no other Democrat has a shot at getting the nomination and winning? No, I wouldn't say that at all. Of course, I mean, anything can happen in politics. A day is a lifetime. But realistically speaking, these days, if you don't get in early, you're way behind already when you do get in. And but wouldn't it be remarkable if Hillary was prosecuted? And do you think she should be prosecuted? 523-1450. What do you think of her as a candidate? And what do you think of her as a person? It's 748 on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. Okay, folks, I've got the clip of Giuliani. Giuliani, I think, was the great loss of America that we could have had as leadership. I think he would have been a fantastic president. His personal demons got to him, though. But check this out on Hannity.
Former New York City mayor and former prosecutor Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Mayor, we put up on the screen last night three specific laws.
I saw it, and heard your interview with my close personal friend, Judge Mukasey. He and I prosecuted a congressman many years ago, Congressman Podell, on a conflict of interest charge. And he broke down on the witness stand. He confessed it was a $42,000 bribe. And he also confessed a conflict of interest. $42,000. We have millions of dollars involved here. She should have been under investigation 2 months ago if the Justice Department was acting honorably and apolitically. The minute she announced that she destroyed anything, personal or government records, the minute she said that, everything should have been subpoenaed on day one. She got a political break that nobody else would get. General Petraeus committed a nothing compared to what she has done.
Yeah.
Whether this Justice Department can do it or not, or this administration can do it or not, this woman needs a criminal lawyer. If there is any doubt, there are at least a half dozen statutes where the facts suggest that she violated the law. Now, they have to be proven to be true. The conflict of interest law is very, very simple. It's 18 U.S.C. Section 208, and it says if you act in any manner in which you or your spouse has a financial interest, you're guilty. You go to jail for 2 years, and you can't hold a federal office the rest of your life. On one hand, the president was getting millions of dollars in speaking fees. The foundation was getting millions of dollars in money, and she was taking action, unusual actions on behalf of those entities, including UBS. That's only one of 10. Destruction of any record in contemplation of an investigation
is
obstruction of justice, 18 U.S.C. Section 1519. Now, she voted for the change in that statute that says in contemplation of any investigation. When these records were being destroyed, there wasn't a contemplation of investigation. There were 8 House investigations going on. And how she can separate personal from government.
Well, she made the decision.
Well, but the minute you start using that phone as a government phone, I'm sorry, it's government property. Destruction of government property is a separate federal crime.
She actually sent out to her very own department that the State Department requires employees to preserve records, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, when she was Secretary of State, she put out a cable with her name on it. Do not avoid conducting official department business from your personal email account.
Yes.
And she said she was writing her husband. Her husband doesn't have an email account.
Yeah, let's look at it this way. Somebody works for a company, right? They've got the company computer. They use it for company records and they use it for personal records. The company can look at all the records because it belongs to the company. The minute she started to use that phone as a government instrumentality, it belongs to the United States of America. It belongs to us, not to her. The destruction of that in and of itself is a crime. And no one has gotten into the foundation yet. And looking at the connections between what the money he was getting and what she was doing.
Amazing.
Now, maybe she destroyed those 33,000 emails because they contain those connections.
Last question, and I've got 44 U.S. Code 3101, 18 U.S. Code 1924, 2071, 18 U.S.C. Here's my last question. John Kerry says the Russians are reading his emails and the Chinese are reading his. If this is a server in a bathroom of a mom-and-pop shop, I've got to believe the Russians, Chinese, Iranians, Israelis, friends, enemies, that everybody has them. Now, she's running for president. Say she won. Could you imagine Vladimir comes to the White House, dumps all the emails on her desk? That would prove her guilt, that she, in fact, did have classified information on there?
Yeah, and maybe could lead to the impeachment of an American president after she gets elected. The reality is you have to count on the fact that several foreign governments have all of this. She's one of the top officials in the government and one of the most interesting people in the United States. They have this information. And if there is a single email that connects her to any of that money that Bill Clinton is getting, it goes from conflict of interest to bribery, which is a 15-year
and obstruction
statute.
Of justice, right?
And when she destroyed the personal emails, there were plenty of reasons for her to do it, to obstruct the Benghazi investigation, to obstruct the investigation of her leaking of her mishandling of classified information, to obstruct a possible bribery investigation. This woman should be the subject of a criminal investigation. She should be in front of a grand jury. These questions shouldn't be asked by Ed Henry, who she could just cut off. They should be asked by a federal prosecutor where an answer is demanded. And believe me, I've done many public corruption cases, and the worst witnesses are politicians. They get to lie for a lot of their lives. And once they get on the witness stand,
they can't.
All that obfuscation kills them in front of a jury.
This killer campaign, is she done?
I don't see how she survives this. This has to be investigated. The Justice Department will lose all integrity if it doesn't put her under a full and complete investigation. She has committed crimes, allegedly, possibly, that are far worse than things we've put other people in jail for, convicted. Like General Petraeus.
All right, folks. Like I said earlier, as soon as I kind of got a sense of this, as soon as I heard that she had destroyed half of her emails, I felt like quite probably her goose was cooked, because number one, they have electronics people that come in and find this stuff. They can recreate it from a little bit. We got a phone call here. And why destroy? I mean, what are you destroying? Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
You guys are incredible.
Frankie, please tell me that you'll come back with a little touch of sanity on this. She's in serious hot water, and it's another joke to you. You're yucking it up.
Oh, come on. You all you conservatives are getting a wet dream because
Frankie,
we got you guys on Richard Nixon.
What is your address? I'm going to send a psychiatrist to your house.
Fine, you would love that, because a psychiatrist, they would be amazed at my brilliance. But I'm going to tell you, nothing's going to happen to her because of the fact of the level of where she is. And you can't conduct as a Secretary of State without keeping things away from you conservatives who would try to undermine everything.
Frankie, can you tell me she has done nothing wrong? No serious crimes in this instance?
It probably is, but it's going to get washed over, you know,
You might be right. Thanks for waking up in the last 5 minutes of the show. Have a wonderful day.
I've been listening. I've been listening to you since 7 o'clock this morning, but I was trying to give you the opportunity to keep playing your clips. I didn't want to interrupt.
You don't want to clip the clips. Thanks a lot. I got to go. We're running out of time. Have a great day, folks. We'll tune in again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Ciao. Kelly O'Connell.